come, bro. We're practical family now. Okay, good morning, Brian. Okay, let's turn to Psalm 46. 10, the famous sentence, verses. Psalm 46:10. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Okay, let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, we just this morning we come before you, acknowledging that you are our God. You are the God of universe. You are the God of all creations. You are God of all nations. We just humbly go before you, God, and ask you to download your message to us. And speak to our heart, and may the message be have that transformative powers. Even though you know, long or short, doesn't matter because it is your work that is in our heart that's matter. So thank you for being with us this morning, and I'll pray all this in Jesus' name, Amen. So you know, this week, this season of time, like Pastor Sam is going to talk about humility, and he mentioned, you know, last Sunday, you know, the gist of, not just like, you know, really living out the humility is our motto, SP motto, to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. And this morning, the verses talk about, you know, to know that I am God. A lot of time, you know, this acknowledgement, not just like intimately knowing him, but also acknowledge him being the God of our life. And so this morning I'm going to talk about movies. Recently I saw three movies. The one very classic one is Truman Show. It's a 1998 one. I just like, you know, watch it again with a bunch of people. And amazingly, because when I first watched it, I wasn't a Christian. And then I look at it again and it's like, whoa, this is really almost feel like Antichrist. So for those who do not know this movie, let's talk about this Truman, this person called Truman Burbank. And he basically, before he was born, he would been chosen to live in this this huge, gigantic, you know, archaeological dome, and all the weather has been controlled. Everything, all the people around him is actors, and so he is being filmed unknowingly by 5,000 camera, and basically he is being filmed day and night. Even though when he's sleeping, he's being filmed, and so it's like a national real life show. And I think it's actually because of this movie, the real life show really kicked off in America. And basically, talk about, you know, people day and night, 24 hours, watching him, his life, how he grew up, you know, in this really controlled environment. And he have no knowledge of, you know, the person who was called the creator behind all this. And even the directors of this Truman Show, his name is called Christoph. It's like Christ of, you put the word together, it's like of Christ. So it's almost like it's an implication that this like creator, even when during part of the movie, he was saying, I'm the creator of this show. Like he is almost like doing a parallel of God being the creator. And if you look at the movie, it's kind of like we now look at the, you know, Christians, how we live our life, and talk about, you know, God is behind everything, and he had planned lay out for you, and different, like, you know, Christians terminology almost like being used in the movie. And one scene of the movie is like these creators, these directors, he was saying that he chose Truman to be, out of all this kid, he chose him to be, put him in the show, and he know it before he was born. And it was so funny, they actually have the ultrasound showing that in the mother room, I already know you. And it's like, whoa, this movie is talking, really talking about God. And so basically, you know, but obviously, there's no, it's not 100%, you know, foolproof environment. So gradually Truman realize that something is not right. Like different incident happened in his life. Like the light dropping onto his car, and you know, going into an elevator of the hotel room and realize that just the background is the resting area of the filming crew. So different hints showing that he's not living in a reality that he was living in. And also different part of the movie showing the manipulation behind, like creating fear in his life so that he won't escape, you know, this environment. And that particular scene, they're talking about the wave is a raging storm because he was trying to escape, and there's a raging storm going on, and he was like, you know, fighting the storm. And that scene almost reminded me about Jonah, when he tried to escape God, but he cannot, and God is using different means, even a big fish to, you know, to take Jonah into place, and basically, may not be a good word, but kind of break Jonah into submission in that sense too. But in this movie, it didn't break Truman, and basically he had a choice. And at the last scene, it's like his boat hit the edge of this dome, and he woke up, and there is this doorway, black darkness. Don't know what he's going into, and he did his final bow down and left whatever the area that he had been living all his life, and before he, you know, go into the unknown new world, the voice of God coming down from the dome, and you have suddenly this voice from the heaven and the light shining on him, and tell him that, you know, this is a world, you know, so much better than outside, and at the end he choose to, you know, leave this, and you know, if you look at, you know, from a almost like an antichrist perspective. It's talking about, you know, the manipulation that God have in your life, like orchestrating different events in your life and things like that. If you look at it in the really negative, you know, perspective, I think one thing that this movie sort of highlighted also is about the choice that Truman have when he can choose, like, this is a very controlled world, it could see heaven, everything is beautiful, the weather, everything, and even life seems, you know, in such an orderly way, but it's not real. And so he decided, you know, to choose to go into the world unknown, even though it's all dark and dirt, unknown and all this stuff. I think to an extent, it talk about, you know, in us, we have this tendency, men have this tendency to actually to disobey God, or even, we put it not those disobey, but really not submitting to God's authority and control. In that sense, like that tendency that, you know, I want to break through, I want to make my own choice, I don't want to follow, you know, whatever way that you have. And there's always this, you know, this tendency of men that choosing, even though this path I know is not good for me, but because I have a choice, so I choose the other way anyway. And so what's the way out really for the movie? I think one thing is that the movie, obviously, the director, Christoph, is not God himself. And I think come to our personal journey in our walk with God, you know, when we come to Christ, we say, God, you are our Lord and Savior. We acknowledge that you are the Lord. But as we continue our journey, I do wrestle also, because a lot of time we're so used to the world that, you know, you're taking control on things. I can do a lot of things myself with the natural ability that God has given us. And from, you know, this journey from a new Christian to a more mature Christian, that along that way, I think that we have to come to a point and acknowledge that He is God. He is the porter. He has say in our life and how our life is being planned out. I mean, in this movie, obviously, this guy is not God. But it brings out a point that, you know, in our Christian walk, that come to a point that we do have to acknowledge that He is God and we are not. And I think this is number one, I consider it as number one hurdles in our walk with God or in our Christian walk, in terms of, you know, we have to letting it go of the God in ourselves, because we thought we can in control, we can do all things, but and taking all the glory. And so I think the passage, like Psalm 46, is saying, cease driving and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among all nations. So it come back to the humility point that talk about the core of our Christianity is that acknowledging that he's God and we are not. And the second movie that I'm going to talk about is called Secret Sunshine. It is a Korean movie. I don't know whether you guys have seen it. Sarah have? No? Okay. It's basically talk about this woman, really tragic woman. Her husband died in the car accident, and she has a child. And so she decided to escape from Seoul and go to this place called Miyang, and this, the translation is Secret Sunshine. And basically, one tragic after another tragic. So after the husband died, he moved to the new town and become a piano teacher. And because I guess, like, you know, that she's, I think it's his own pride. So she pretend that she have money and to go and look for properties. And so as a result of this, one of the school principal was actually abduct his son, and eventually his son died. And so really tragic and really broken, and this is a award-winning movie too, by the way. And she was like, you know, couldn't, like, emotion was so overwhelming, she was choking and all this, in the midst of all this, and she saw this banner, like, God is merciful. And then she walked into a church, and hymn being, like, you know, all the worship song being sung and all this, and she was crying and wailing in the church, and then the pastor come over and put his hand on her, and basically from that point onwards, she become a Christian. She worship on the train station. She talk about how God actually changed her life. Talking about that before people before, like, approach her and saying that, you know, you suffer so much, but you know there is something that invisible. But we need to believe in order to tap into the invisible, so that we refer to God. And so basically 100% turn around, a lot of joy. She go around and tell people, you know, how God, like, changed her, and really now feel the warmth in the heart, worshiping and all this stuff. And to a point that she decided to forgive the offender who abducted his child and murdered his child. And she went into the prison cell and, you know, meet with the guy. And she even, like, bought the flowers and said, oh, this is the God. You probably don't see flowers outside. And I just come here to share about God's love. And I want to tell you, I want to forgive you. And before she can even say, I forgive you, the criminal actually was like, look at his face, a lot of peace, and say, God is so good, because, like, since I coming into the prison cell, I met God, and he have so much grace on me that, you know, even a criminal so bad as me, God is still love me. And I cry every night at the prison and praying for you. And now, you know, we meet, you know, at this prison, you know, this interview room, and it's really the work of God. And then the movie continues showing, and her face, like, changed. And she collapsed after that. And she becomes so angry with God. The reason she's so angry with God is that she didn't have a chance to say, I forgive you. And God already forgiven the criminal. So in a sense, that is that spiritual pride kicking in. That I'm so spiritual, I'm showing the world that I, you know, I'm going to forgive that those who really hurt me a lot. But when it comes to true forgiveness, it didn't happen. And she was really angry with God. How can you, God, this guy do not deserve that forgiveness? And you forgive him before I did. And it was like, and you can see that it's that spiritual pride that kicking in. But also, you know, talk about a real transformation of life. I think in our Christian walk, recently I hear a message and talk about 4 E, and the first E is exegesis, really deep into the Word of God and knowing, you know, the text, knowing what the scripture about. Because a lot of time I talk to people, so they for example they have you know, challenges in life, in workplace, and they worry and anxious, and they are believer. And so, and you ask them and say, oh, I pray to God at night. And then you ask them, what did the Bible tell you? What the word of God really comforting you? And they don't know the Bible. And a lot of time, the answer already set out. The word of God, the comforting word already exists in the Bible. But it's just because they didn't really know the word of God, know who God is. So their faith is like still very superficial in a way that, you know, I pray and answers like a baby phrase, right? A beginning toddler phase that where there's a lot of care of God. But eventually you need to have to like more drinking more than meal, you take solid food, and that's the word of God. And so exegesis is like really study the word of God and knowing what's the scriptures really about. And the second E is expositions, really in understanding how it can apply to our life. And it's, the first two E is still dealing with our head knowledge and knowing the scriptures so that we know the truth. And then how it is relevant to today's life. And even Jesus, you know, when after resurrections, he come back and the, you know, disciple know that, you know, that is a Messiah, there's all this, but Jesus do come and interpret the scripture for them. And so that's the second part about the expositions. And the three is execution. We've been talking about we are on the way, is living out. Because until we actually put into practice that, you know, the truth and put into our life, then we start to experience that transformative power of the word of God. And exactly is in the same things that happen in this movie. It's the woman. He know that God's love, he's a lot of grace. She experienced that initial, you know, loving feeling, that experience from God, and thought she is transformed. But when you come to the time of tests, a true forgiveness, then it's fresh out. All the things that she do, very Christian-like, is become a spiritual pride thing. It's just showing off and identify yourself with another group of people where people look up to you. And it come to the crunch time, it's like the real forgiveness. Can you really forgive? And also, it come to a point also with this movie, this main character is who is in control. For her, she wants to be in control. So she could not forgive God for forgiving the criminal before she did. And again, it's the position, where we position ourselves. Are we God or he's really God? And so executions, really living it out. And the fourth E that in that particular message that I recently heard is expectations. Really expecting God to do things. Even though sometimes we leave out the word of God and sometimes you struggle and all this, but the expectation, anticipating God will come through. And that's another aspect of God. That another aspect of our faith as well is the hope that will come in through, that God will definitely come through in those circumstances. Come through, you know, doesn't mean that he's going to resolve it, but he's coming through, walking you through with, you know, together. And this movie is like Secret Sunshine. At the end, basically, it talk about, even the title, Secret Sunshine, is that the light is always there, but sometimes you didn't know it existed, like always around you. And there's this particular character, he's, car mechanics. He was from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. This guy has been chasing this woman for longest time, but she just didn't like him. But he was there beginning and all this. It kind of like implying that, you know, there are angel God sending to you, but sometimes it's that, again, it's that we're not accepting what God has given to us, and we want our own way too. And so it talk about that the kind of implication that the sunshine is, you know, God's secret angel is around you. And other things that in the movie is very, I read up all the, you know, review and stuff like that. I talk, interview with the producer, and basically beginning of the film is talking, it have a few, actually throughout the most of the movie is like the different shot that are showing that they're looking up into the sky. Even when she was in disobedient, this woman, like after like she was so angry with God, she actually go and steal a CD. Everything is a lie. And she went into an evangelical outing, and she played the CD when everyone is praying for one another's, and then she do other thing, and she tried to seduce a pastor, but it didn't work. And during the scene of it, she was looking aside, can you see that what I'm doing to your people and stuff like that? That's a different angle that she actually looking into the sky and thinking that God is out there. And at the end of the movie, instead of shooting on the sky, the producer actually shoot on the ground. And it's an implication that, you know, real life, not just, God is not just in the sky. He is also down in the earth and working in your life. That sort of implications. So it's quite an interesting movie. So, but most part of it is quite depressing. We can talk about how tragic life is. But definitely have some food for thought. Especially it's kind of challenge. I think the Korean Christianity as well, how they worship God, and some part of the scene and how they try to evangelize. It's so odd that you wouldn't think you would do that. But anyway, so that's the second movie that come to my recent, and the third movie, obviously, last week we have shown The Nefarious. So last night, three people come to my place and we watched the movie. And I think out of that movie, one thing that really struck me is the scale of The Nefarious. The Nefarious, like criminal act in the syndicate crimes. And at the beginning, it showed like 27 million people that is under modern slavery in terms of trafficked women. Trafficked, victims and all this. And it looked about the different, level of meaning of trafficking. Like, the basic, we all know, being abducted and then placed in a foreign place, obviously, held against their will is one of the, trafficking definition. But you talk about people in a structure, in a structural scene settings where poverty or even the culture, if you think about Cambodia, I talk about that, the child when they grow up, when the child was born being a woman, they already felt that they hit the jackpot because they know they can sell their children. It's already embedded in the culture. And even the children, when they grow up, they know that to honor the parent is to sell their body. And it's kind of like really twisted, value. And it's built in the social structures. And it's more than poverty. And there are, even like our SP Light, we go down to Wan Chai District, when you look at them and you're thinking, okay, they're flashing their body and it's their own choice. They're making their own choice. But the question is it really their own choice? And you listen to their story and you realize that, some lady actually was tricked to come to Hong Kong. And when they arrived, the passport being confiscated by the bar owner and they have to pay the agent because initially they borrow a huge amount of money from the agent, to come to Hong Kong to work, and they are being forced put into this situation that they have to do the, in the strip club and dance, and more than that provide additional service. And the strip club actually take a cut into whatever service, and they keep tab on who they're going out with and all this stuff. And this is happening in Hong Kong, in Wan Chai. And you have people that, because of financial situations, that in Philippines and the family sick and all this, they have to come and do this, and because it's so much higher pay than a domestic helpers and stuff like that. And yes, it's their own choice, but at the same time, they are being forced by the circumstances and all this. And I think one thing that the greatest impact for me for that particular movie, Nefarious, is the scale of the scene that is happening around the world. And then I turn around and, look at myself and look at our congregation, which is really comfortable, like beautiful church, come Sunday. And then, you hear members like struggling on their own way and all this. And it's not that it's not important. In our spiritual journey, what we've got, it's very important to God. But then when you compare to the scene that is going raging outside, and it's like the worker is so few, and I couldn't help but it's like I really need to buckle up. I really need to, reorganize my life so that I can ready for God you know, to really go out, because there's so much more outside than in this sanctuary. And so my encouragement to you this morning is that for ye, that really anchor yourself in the Word of God. Really know how to, you know, not just study the Word and getting head knowledge and how it applies to your life, but living it out and try it out. And I think, you know, even with the lady in that Secret Sunshine, it's her personal spiritual journey too, because you need to wrestle your faith and you need to weed out that that God that is inside us, and truly acknowledge that He is God. And so this morning, Mon is going to lead us into a time of worship and meditations. And so let us be really frank and go before God and say to God that really let Your Word come alive in us, God, and help us to acknowledge that You are God and we are not. You are the potter, we are the clay. But yet at the same time, the difference between a potter, just a common potter, is that this amazing love that You have for us. You are not there to just to manipulate our life, but You are there with all Your love and compassion and sincerely want us to walk in a path that is best for us. So I really praise, like, you know, the truth of God really cutting through into your heart and mind. And let God's love that cover, you know, whatever brokenness that is in you that's stopping you to go before God.
Is alive. the greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We fall down. We fall down. We lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. We cry, cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the
Talking about the fourth E is the with expectations. Some people ask, you know, how long do you pray for the sick? And the passage that I have is from the book of Samuel, when David was sinning and punishment fall upon his son, when he was interceding, fasting and praying for the son, and I not ask God not to punish and kill his son, and then just heal his son and all this stuff. And he prayed until, unfortunately, in this instance is when the baby died. And I think this is the attitude also, is that we expect God heals and we continue to contend for people who are suffering in illness and all this. So let's pray with an expectation, let's pray with a persistent and just contending with God to heal the people in our community who are sick. And so let's go through the prayer point that is for those who are suffering cancer and going through chemos and waiting for transplant. Let's keep contending for these people, God. Let's go to the next slide for praying for those family members of our church that are suffering physical ailment and very physical ailment, and also they press in to pray for their salvations. Let's turn to the next page. I have a praise report because I went to see do my ultrasound yesterday, and there was supposed to be a cyst on my left ovary, and it's gone. So praise the Lord. So, yeah, this is really amazing. So yeah. Okay, anyway, so praise report. And so let's continue to pray for those who are sick on this list and really ask that, you know, God heal them too. Let's do the next page for those brothers and sisters who are looking for a job. Just pray for more favor and opportunity for them. And for those that who've been waiting for a long time, pray that, you know, God, they truly experience the work of God and not be despair, and the hope continue to stay strong in them. Let's turn to today's focus, the mission focus. Pastor Salamat is going to a mission trip to Surabaya next week. So let's pray also for Pastor Salamat about his trip in Indonesia and see how God opened doors and connection for him. And let's continue to pray, lift up the education ministry, the Noah's Ark, SP Youth, and the college group. Pray for particularly the leaders and the teachers in each of the group. The things that in the movies like Secret Sunshine is very obvious that it's really a strong portrait of fatherless generations. You know, how Pastor Sam would talk about that, you know, Satan's going to attack a family, he's going to attack the male. And so when we live out the SB family and marriage, you know, talk about love, healing, unity, restoration, protection, let us, like, you know, today pray for the men in the household, pray for the men in our congregations when they step up, you know, in terms of like being the head of the family and, you know, living up the calling that God has given them as a father. Today, the house church meeting today is Bel Air, Madaddy, and Robinson family. So lift them up and pray that they have good discussions on the sermon and also good fellowship time.
Let's pray for the weekend activities that are going on in SP, the Sunday worship, the worship team, Pastor Peter Ho from a local church coming to preach. Let also lift him up for his message to speak to us. And also the hospitality team welcoming, and the barista, the Nuansa teachers and SP youth. GIC class is the last class is today, so pray for the student to pass. Right, anyway, so EG, there's a EG retreat that is happening. PSAM is in that, and so pray for the student, like, can graduate and do that seven reality well. And also, IGAPE is having the local IGAPE is having the first class. We are changing the curriculum, so we really ask that you pray for the teachers. I think all this ministry very important. It's not so much as like. And how much we give to the people, but also how God uses us and how God first ministers to our teacher as well, because that's the outflowing of the being to reach out to others. So please leave off the teachers, and we also have a teacher training also this afternoon, so if you can pray for the IGAPE outreach today and also tomorrow. And there's various prayer meetings that's going on, so just also leave that up. Spirit, just ask that you continue to draw in this place, continue to speak to our brother sister here as they continue to soak in your presence, God, and just be us with the rest of the day. We trust that, God, that your walk with us is your love never fails, and no matter where is like act of disobedience that we have in our journey with you, that you are always faithful and not giving up on us. And I also pray, Father God, that for our congregations also to have that compassion to embrace a person in their struggle in their faith, and the willingness and the wisdom, particularly the wisdom how to walk with them together. So we leave our day to you, God, and just ask you to bless it and guide us. Thank you, God, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. So just continue to soak in God's blessings, and just keep your dialogue with God. Enjoy the day.